Hello everyone, it's Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
Do you love history but hate when it's stuffy and boring? Well, look no further and join me, Katie Charlwood, your friendly neighborhood social scientist and reader of books, as I delve into unsolved historical mysteries, murders by gaslight, and of course, women who have been misrepresented through all time. On Who Did What Now, the history podcast that's not your history class. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It began long ago. Two young boys in an American town riding their bikes to school and little league practice. Over the years, the boys became fast friends, united in their love for stories where things would go horribly wrong. Pour yourself a strong beverage and buckle up. You're in the shallow end with Schnebly and Toth.
It's the shallow end with Schnebly and Toth, although I guess I don't need to say that because the lifeguard just did.
Thanks, lifeguard.
Thanks, lifeguard. See you next week.
She's so consistent, isn't she?
It's almost like she says the same thing every episode. Very, very consistent indeed. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good. We are going through what's known here in Ecuador as El Rolling Blackout. There's a drought going on here, which is, I think, due to El Nino. There's been no rain in the high Andes, or not much. It's been a bit of a drought, and all of the power is hydroelectric.
Sure, which is clean.
It's even more clean when they're not running it. So throughout the city, every day, for about 4 hours, different neighborhoods get shut down for 4 hours. Okay. And so my apologies to you for making you wait several hours.
A whole 3 hours? Yes, I was quite put out. It actually was very smart on your part because it allowed me to do a lot of editing on the next episode of From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. So
that's doing really well, isn't it?
Gangbusters. ¿Cómo se dice gangbusters?
El Gangbusters, I think. I'm not sure. I think it's, yeah, that would be masculine.
I was very proud of Steve and Nan because on Apple Podcasts, they got their first one-star scathing review.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
and I said to Nan, now you know you're in the club. When you're getting bad reviews, you've officially taken off as a real podcast. Yeah. And it was some snarky comment like, these people clearly don't know what they're talking about and have no chemistry. You know, one star. And I thought... Uh-huh. Yeah, I thought, wow.
Clearly an Emmy-winning writer and a working actress in Hollywood. Clearly, they have no idea.
They don't know what this business is about. Shut that thing down, for the love of Pete. I have a very cheery, happy, albeit bumbling crook story. And I think if yours has any kind of darkness to it at all, you should probably go first.
Let me think. What did I do?
Or are we both bright and chipper and cheery?
I forgot what I wrote. Let me bring it up here. Okay. Mine is not dark at all.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. But I went first the last couple of times. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay.
I don't want people to think we don't have chemistry.
Or that we don't know what we're talking about.
Well, that part's true.
That's true. This is actually our 74th facade of a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
My story is called The World's Worst Uber Driver. This one really tickled my funny bone. Sadly, JG, we don't know much about Mark and Rhiannon. We don't even know their last names. But we know that they are a young couple from the UK and that they had come to America on vacation, or holiday, as the Brits say, And we think they decided not to rent a car for their trip. They seem to have decided to use Uber and Lyft, which actually, I think, makes more and more sense when people think, do I really need the hassle of renting a car? It's just easier to use Uber and Lyft.
That's what we do.
That makes total sense. Here's the reason their trip here is so cool. Well, actually, it's two reasons. One, it gives us this week's shallow end moment from me. But two, they actually came to the States for a really, really sweet and significant moment. They came here to attend a wedding. But it gets better. How, JG asks, could it be better than this? It was not just any wedding, my friend. It was their own wedding.
Oh.
Isn't that cool? They came to America to get married.
Wow, that is. That's how exotic.
Right? I would love to have gotten married in London. I think that would have been fun, full of fun stories. This actually happened only a week ago, October 24th. So here's the thing. Mark and Rhiannon, and by God, what a beautiful name Rhiannon is, isn't it? I know we're obsessed with names here, but come on, give it up for Rhiannon. They're in the back seat of their Uber-driven car. It's Saturday night, it's about 9:30 p.m., and they are motoring, as the Brits say, on US 27 in the Four Corners area of Davenport, Florida. And JG and Kat will attest that that is in Polk County, Florida. Now, they're chatting with their driver and everything's cool. They're head over heels in love, newly married. They're laughing. They're holding hands, sitting in the back seat. Their driver is a 27-year-old guy named Elijah Mills. And he is from Maitland, Florida. Now, Elijah is chatting with his couple, the fair, and he notices that there's a Polk County Sheriff's Office deputy in a cruiser behind him, patrol car. Well, no big deal, right?
I don't know. Whenever a cruiser or a patrol vehicle pulls up behind me, or even I can just see one coming up closer to my vehicle, immediately I start feeling like I've done something wrong.
Yeah, me too.
And in my head, I'm thinking, is there anything in the car that could, like, maybe they think that might be a weapon, like my windshield scraper thing.
I was thinking you were more concerned about something that Kat once accidentally brought into a Disney theme park.
That's always a concern, too. Some sort of a sharp, pokey thing.
Pokey instrument of some kind. I have the same reaction when I see a patrol car in my rearview mirror. The very first thing I do is look down at my speedometer and think, was I speeding? And
yeah.
Of course, not usually. But then, like you, I think, you know, am I about to be pulled over?
I'm the same way when I leave like a Costco or something. When I walk out through the anti-theft detection doorway, right. I'm always afraid that I'm going to set it off. Or maybe I inadvertently put something in my pocket or I trigger it somehow. I immediately assume they think I'm a thief.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I have that same reaction every time I go through a TSA checkpoint. And just yesterday, flying back from Phoenix after a brief family trip, my bag with the audio gear that you and I both travel with automatically, almost always gets pulled aside. And they want to look at it because they can't figure out what it is. So the guy who could not have been kinder, TSA agent, says, whose bag is this? And I said, that's mine. And he said, can you step over here? And I say to him, as I do almost every time, I've got some audio gear in there, and sometimes it looks funny. And the guy says, yeah, this isn't audio gear. This is a bottle of something. And then I realized that I had packed a bottle of, powder, body powder, like baby powder. And he's looking at this, and I instantly think, oh my God, what if that's full of cocaine? Even though I know it's body powder. And sure enough, he opens it up and takes the swab and puts it in the little magic machine and says, thanks, pal. Have a good day.
Yeah. But, the type of microphone that you and I use are Sennheiser shotgun microphones, which are long, thin, and cylindrical. And they do on X-ray at times look like a sniper's pistol.
Or a silencer for a pistol.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I am always very careful not to call it a shotgun mic when they go through my bag. Oh, yeah, there's a shotgun mic in there.
And it's full of cocaine.
And it's full of cocaine, not baby powder. So Elijah's thinking, okay, no big deal. Well, then another car pulls in behind him, and they're still, you know, they're still doing 35, 40 miles an hour, or whatever the speed limit is on that
US 27.
Highway, US 27. And then a minute later, another. Now there are three, and then a fourth. And finally, one of these cruisers moves around them and pulls in front of them, though they're all still rolling. And then another patrol car pulls beside them. So now Elijah is effectively boxed in by four or five moving patrol cars. Now,
mercy sakes alive, it looks like we got ourselves a convoy.
A convoy. I have to say that that song did not enter my mind as I was picturing this, but nicely played, sir. That was very, very well done. And kids at home, go look up C.W. McCall and McCoy or McCall. Who did Convoy?
C.W. McCall, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I'll take obscure pop culture references from the 70s for 400.
They even had a bear in the air. Remember that line?
The part that I like is when they went to Double Nickel, other side of the bridge.
Keep the shiny side up. Mm-hmm. Boy, we are... Maybe I should just bail on this story and we can do obscure references to things that have nothing to do with my story.
I think that we're getting pretty good at it.
We're heading that direction. Well, Mark and Rhiannon, our newly married couple visiting from the UK, are starting to think, is this a thing in America where the police escort you on your honeymoon? And sadly, the answer is no. The cops are there to chat with driver Elijah, the one who's driving that Uber car. They have surrounded Elijah's car and they have slowed down until they come to a dead stop. And they tell Elijah to roll down the window and they explain that they need to have a little talk. Now, you can imagine Mark and Rhiannon, the newlyweds in the back seat, are probably thinking to themselves, what on earth have we gotten ourselves into? What have we done that we're getting pulled over by five Polk County Sheriff's officers, deputies? And of course, the answer is nothing. Mark and Rhiannon could not have possibly known that Elijah, their very kind Uber driver, who's been chatting them up on this fare, has been, shall we say, skirting the rules a bit. Skirting the rules so much, JG, that after a few minutes, he's in handcuffs in the back seat of one of those patrol cars. And now Mark and Rhiannon are standing on the side of the highway next to a Chevy Equinox, in which they were just minutes before cruising along in the back seat, thinking, boy, married life in America is great. The reason behind this rather dramatic traffic stop was the fact that that swanky Chevrolet Equinox wasn't actually owned by Elijah, their driver.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't his car. He had rented it from a company located in Orange County, where Kat and JG used to live. Now, it was a newer car, but after a few days of renting it, Elijah just decided to stop making the payments on that rental car, because, you know, that can really eat into your profits when you're an Uber driver, having to pay for the car that you're driving.
That's true.
It's much easier to just keep all that money yourself. Now, the company from whom he had rented the car kept calling him because they had his cell phone, and they were calling multiple times a day to saying, hey, dude, you owe us money. But he wouldn't answer because he knew that's why they were calling, that they had realized he was not paying them the daily rate that he had agreed to.
Okay, so this is a daily rental, not a leased vehicle, but a daily rental like you get at the airport.
That's my understanding. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they have like GPS tracking on that. I'm surprised that they waited this long. They knew where he was all the time.
it's almost as if JG is setting up this part of the story like he knows what I'm about to say, but I promise you, dear listener, he does not.
I don't know what I'm about to say, let alone you.
Ergo the success of The Shallow End with Schnebly and Toth. Well, Elijah might not have been the brightest bulb when he came up with this idea of, hey, I'll just stop, you know, paying for this. I just won't answer their phone calls. But the fact that he stopped paying leads the rental company to finally, understandably, report the vehicle as stolen. Now, Mark and Rhiannon are being chauffeured on their honeymoon in a stolen car. Of course, they had no idea that any of this had gone down. They're just innocent victims standing on the side of the road on a Saturday night as their Uber driver is now wearing handcuffs in the backseat of a patrol car. But to JG's point about GPS tracking, this is actually even more sophisticated than that. Elijah, the driver, confesses to deputies that, yes, the rental company had been contacting him daily regarding the overdue payment, but he knew why they were calling, and he just decided to ignore the calls. So what follows this confession left these law enforcement officers in disbelief, and I have to say that I did not see this twist in the story coming. Elijah explains that he knew that the rental company had equipped all of their rental cars with a very clever device. And I'm not sure what the name of it is, but it's hidden somewhere inside the car, probably under the hood or behind the dash. And in a case like this, when the driver stops paying for the car after ample warning, he knew that the rental car company would flip a switch on this device, and once that happened, once Elijah shut off the car engine, it wouldn't start back up again.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
They should take it one step further for people like this, where they push a button and it explodes.
I was picturing some kind of a cool, like, ejection device where the sunroof slides open and all of a sudden you're full Wile E. Coyote spinning in the air.
Yeah, that's a lot kinder than my idea.
Yeah. Actually, when I read about this, I thought they should just put these in all cars, and that, you know, when there's a car in a pursuit, take it one step further and just you hit a button and the car just turns off and, you know,
yeah, coasts
to a stop. Well, Elijah knew that this was why they were calling, and that his car, the Chevy Equinox, had one of these things installed. So he came up with a pretty shallow end idea. What did he do? Are you ready for this?
Did he locate the device and wrap it in tinfoil?
That's what I would have tried, but he came up with something even more basic, more elemental than that. He has this realization. Hey, you know what? I just won't turn off the car.
Oh.
What? What?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He had kept that Chevy Equinox running for, get this, 3 consecutive weeks.
Wow.
To avoid the car being remotely disabled.
Now, this is a great marketing opportunity for Chevy.
For Chevy.
And their Equinox line of vehicles.
Stolen or not, our cars can run 3 weeks straight. That Equinox had been either being driven or idling 24 hours a day, day after day, night after night. And he did this for 3 straight weeks in a row. He tells the police that he would go to sleep and he would just leave the car idling and presumably locked. Because nothing's worse than when your stolen car is stolen from you, you know? Like, even a crook would go, hey, that's not cool. That guy stole that car. He should be able to keep it.
That's one step too far.
So Elijah explains this to the deputies, and they say, that's genius. You're under arrest. And they arrest Elijah for this unusual and highly illegal antic. Now, here to me, I mean, it's already a very screwy story to me, but here's what's so cool about these deputies, because they've got Elijah under arrest. They know that, you know, They're taking them downtown, so to speak. But they also know that Mark and Rhiannon, this newly married couple from the UK, are complete victims to this, that they had no clue that Elijah was driving them to their next destination in a stolen car. So these deputies actually say, hey, would you guys like a photo? So Mark and Rhiannon, who are simply caught up in this bizarre situation, find themselves posing for a photo with the cheerful deputies. And the sheriff's office actually posted it on their Facebook page. There are six, count them, six deputies with these huge smiles and the young couple surrounded by them with equally big smiles. And Mark, the husband, new husband, is even giving a big thumbs up sign to the camera. There are eight very, very happy people. So that's cool enough. But then the officers do something else really cool. They know that these people, this couple, are stranded, and the car, the stolen car, is about to be towed to an impound yard. They say, where was Elijah driving you? We'll drive you there wherever it is. So the young couple not only got where they needed to go free of charge, but the deputies congratulate them on their new marriage and drive off. And the young couple now has an unforgettable story to share with friends and family.
So they had a police escort to their destination.
Yeah.
How funny.
Actually, more than an escort, actually chauffeured by these Polk County sheriff's deputies to the home that they were. It was like a VRBO where they were staying. So the deputies actually, as you know, Elijah didn't get nearly the treatment that the young couple, Mark and Rhiannon, got. They took him to the Polk County Jail, or as they call it, the Polk Pokey.
The Polk Pokey.
Where he faced charges of grand theft of a motor vehicle, driving while license suspended or revoked. And in fact, it was revealed that Elijah didn't even have a valid driver's license. Wow. So this really raises eyebrows. And the head of the Polk County Sheriff's Department, a guy named Grady Judd, is both astonished and amused about this. And when asked about the case, he says, underlining the humor of the situation, he says, Elijah Mills's unconventional method of avoiding rental payments may have kept the vehicle running for 3 weeks, but it ultimately drove him straight into legal trouble and landed him behind bars. It's a peculiar tale that serves as a cautionary reminder about the perils of attempting to outsmart the system.
Bum, bum, bum.
Elijah Mills, the world's worst Uber driver. I got this from Newsbreak.com, Yahoo News, and LawAndCrime.com. I love my car, but I don't know that it could run for 3 weeks straight.
The last vehicle that we had, I would have my doubts for sure. Yeah. If it could manage that. No, I'm assuming that he left it outside and didn't park it in his garage at night.
That would have been I didn't even think about that.
Could have ended a lot differently.
Yeah, or somebody else like sneaks in to steal the car and ends up succumbing to the exhaust fumes and, oh boy.
Goes down a whole different road, yeah.
Yeah, didn't even think about it that way.
From now on, whenever I get in an Uber, I'm going to ask to see the title and the papers for the vehicle.
Yeah, I wonder how that'll go over. No offense, Uber driver, but how do I know this bucket of bolts ain't stolen? Well, I've got the title right here, sir. That's my panicky Uber driver voice. What do you think?
I think it's a great new character. I hope to hear more of Panicky Uber Guy.
Maybe next episode. You play your cards right.
When Johann Rahl received the letter on Christmas Day 1776, he put it away to read later. Maybe he thought it was a season's greeting and wanted to save it for the fireside. But what it actually was a warning, delivered to the Hessian colonel, letting him know that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware and would soon attack his forces. The next day, when Rahl lost the Battle of Trenton and died from two Colonial Boxing Day musket balls, the letter was found, unopened, in his vest pocket. As someone with 15,000 unread emails in his inbox, I feel like there's a lesson there. Oh well, this is The Constant, A History of Getting Things Wrong. I'm Mark Chrysler. Every episode, we look at the bad ideas, mistakes, and accidents that misshaped our world. Find us at constantpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever added spinach to your meals? Of course you have. Americans know that spinach is great tasting and great for you. But there are lots of things that will be made even better with just a little spinach. We're the American Spinach Council, and we're here to make your life more enjoyable. Sure, you've enjoyed spinach as a side dish, but have you ever thought of adding it to dessert? A little green spinach adds an attractive splash of color on a dish of vanilla ice cream. And did you know a dollop of real spinach turns that glass of Cabernet into something special? Try it at your next dinner party. Your guests will be amazed. Spinach is also a great bookmark. You're sure to find your place the next time you open that novel you're reading by the pool. There are lots of ways to make spinach a part of your daily life. High in vitamins A and K, spinach is more than meets the eye. A healthy and helpful reminder from the American Spinach Council.
Our email address has not changed in all 74 episodes of The Shallow End with Schnebly and Toth. It is and remains lifeguard@shallowendpodcast.com. Lifeguard at Shallow End Podcast got an email from a listener named Derek, who says, OG listener, first time writer, the intro to episode number 72 about the unfortunate name of the poor Canadian Harry Dick.
Yeah.
Reminded me of another even more prominent individual with a similarly unfortunate name. I teach at an all-boys Catholic high school. One of the courses I teach is Intro to Bioethics.
Wow.
I can tell right off the bat that the students at this Catholic high school are far smarter than I was, because I think my head would have exploded if I had to take an Intro to Bioethics class in high school. How about you?
I didn't go, so...
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Well, that's not true. Let me rephrase that. I didn't go often.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You went when it was convenient. Derek says, I teach at an all-boys Catholic high school. One of the courses I teach is Intro to Bioethics, and one of the units in this course is about biomedical enhancements. Good grief. During this unit, we discuss PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs, in athletics, along with other types of enhancements. And I show the great Netflix documentary called Icarus, which explores the Russia Olympic doping scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Now, keep in mind, Derek writes, I'm showing this to a classroom full of senior-level boys in high school.
Uh-huh.
As the movie unfolds, the movie goes deeper into the scandal, and we start to meet the culprits and the investigators. One of the prominent investigators is first president of the World Anti-Doping Agency and vice president of the International Olympic Committee. His name is, parentheses, keep in mind, I'm showing this to a classroom full of level boys, high school level boys. His name is Richard Pound. Without fail, it took the boys 2 seconds to convert Richard to Dick.
Of course.
And they lost it. By the Derek continues, by the way, even on his Wikipedia page, it says Richard William Duncan Pound, better known as Dick Pound. Thank you, Derek, for sending that email. And
wow.
And please accept JG and I's sincere thanks for not making us take classes called Intro to Bioethics.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the easier classes at that Catholic high school.
It probably is.
Lifeguard@shallowendpodcast.com. We always look forward to your emails, questions, suggestions, and in particular, your compliments. We love those the most.
This is your friendly lifeguard with a public service announcement.
Stay out of the fucking deep end.
You're in the shallow end with Schnebly and Toth.
All right, I got one for you.
Oh, cool.
It was a really hot, scorching Texas summer day in a quiet town, in the quiet town of Lufkin. Have you ever been to Lufkin?
I've not been to Lufkin, but I know of Lufkin only because it's mentioned in one of my favorite country songs of all time. She's Crazy for Leaving. And it's a damn good song. And every time it comes up on my hike, I listen to the very end of it. But the singer in that song actually talks about Lufkin, Texas.
For a minute, I thought you were going to reference Luckenbach, Texas. That song with Willie and Waylon and the boys. But
between those Hank Williams pain songs and Lou Berry train songs.
I know.
Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
That's the part that always got me.
Yeah, yeah. Go on, JG.
All right. We're in Lufkin, not Luckenbach. And the story takes a wild left turn. Here's how it all went down.
Okay.
Just a normal, everyday, regular girl from San Antonio, appearing to mind her own business, looking to beat the heat by going into the local grocery store.
Okay.
Now, her name has not been released because she was 17 at the time.
Okay. Well, right? That's understandable. Yeah.
She strolled into the store like any other shopper would, and she made a beeline for the ice cream section, which, of course, on a hot day in Texas, does not seem that unusual.
No, not at all. Not at all.
The store's refrigeration units were humming away, setting the stage for, let's say, an unexpected event. The next thing that happened, amid all of that ice cream, she opened the door and pulled out a half gallon of Bluebell.
Oh, okay. It's half gallon.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Bluebell.
Have you ever had Bluebell? It's great.
I've only seen it. I've got a very good friend who's kind of an ice cream snob and raves about the Bluebell.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's great. Well, she has this Bluebell in her hands and she takes out her device and she's recording herself. She cracks open this tub of Bluebell. She reveals the top of it, untouched, frozen ice cream on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, which is bad enough, stop opening ice cream.
That's really rude.
She's taping herself or videoing herself, and she licks the top of the ice cream.
Ooh, okay. You're going to buy it, right?
She puts the lid back on it.
But you're going to buy it, right?
And puts it back into the ice cream freezer.
But she's going to come back and buy it, right? Do I need to give up on that hope?
Give up on that hope. That did not happen. In fact, she's recording herself for her social media page.
Very smart.
Now informs everybody that she just got over the flu, but she couldn't resist.
No.
She's creating content for her social media. And in addition to just getting over the flu and licking the ice cream, she encourages other people to do the same thing.
The only thing smart about this is that at least there's no evidence of her committing this act. Oh, wait. I remember.
There's
plenty
of evidence. She encourages people to do the same thing, as though her actions were some sort of bizarre initiation into an underground ice cream licking society. She uploads the video and it spreads like wildfire on social media. It gets more than 11 million views almost immediately. And more people are drawn into this controversy. Some condemned, rightly so, her recklessness, while others thought it was hilarious. And soon started to take her up on the dare and posting their own videos of them licking ice cream and putting it back into the grocer's freezer. It became a viral sensation for a short period of time that summer. It was 2019. And there were a surge of copycat crimes. She had created a strange ice cream subculture. Keep in mind now, this is tampering with consumer goods.
Yeah.
And this carries a pretty stiff penalty of 2 to 20 years in prison.
Good.
It should, you fluish ice cream licking witch of a person.
So they recognize who this young lady is and they bring her into custody. And again, they have not released her name. But at the same time, a 24-year-old Texan named DeAdrian Anderson, he created his own video, much like the one that inspired his reckless endeavor.
Okay.
And he shares it for the world to see. Just like the original ice cream incident, Anderson took to Facebook in August of 2019 to upload his antics. There, in all its bizarre glory, was the footage of him opening a container of ice cream at a Port Arthur Walmart. And then leaning in and licking it, and then almost incomprehensibly placing it back in the freezer as if nothing happened. The video clearly shows Anderson just kind of nonchalantly walking away after the crime as if he had committed a casual indiscretion. But of course, once it was uploaded, law enforcement got involved. He argued with the law enforcement, the arresting officer, that he had paid for the ice cream after the camera stopped rolling and that he even produced a receipt. But the Port Arthur police officers weren't buying it. The damage was done, and Walmart was forced to discard all of the Bluebell ice cream they had in their shelves, resulting in financial loss that couldn't be ignored. Now, maybe he did go back and get the ice cream and then pay for it, but the fact that he put it back into the freezer, they couldn't be sure that he got the right one, and they had to throw out all of the ice cream. And it was all Bluebell.
Like the story doesn't hurt enough, it was all Bluebell.
Anderson's video was one of the many copycat incidents that popped up on social media. Bluebell, once again, found itself at the center of another bizarre episode, this time involving a man named Lennis Martin III. This time, the scene was set in the ice cream aisle of a local store in Louisiana, so now it's spread to other states.
Good grief.
In the video, Lennis Martin III, without hesitation, peels back the lid of Bluebell ice cream. He leans in, takes not one, but two long licks.
Selfish.
And then sticks his fingers into the ice cream.
Rude and selfish.
With a mischievous grin, he returned the tainted container to the shelf as if it was just a playful prank.
Rude, selfish, stupid.
The repercussions of Martin's actions didn't take long to catch up with him. Commander Lonnie Caliver,
cool name,
the spokesman for the Assumptions Parish Sheriff's Office, revealed that they had received reports of the viral video and decided to take action. The video of Lennis Martin III's ice cream escapade thrust him into the spotlight, but it also landed him in pretty hot water with the law. In fact, everybody that I've talked about so far had to deal with the law.
Good.
In the aftermath of the original incident, the Lufkin Police Department uncovered the identity of the girl, but her name, of course, not released because she was a juvenile. In that case, they decided it would be handed over to juvenile courts, sparing her from the weight of adult charges. Again, tampering with consumer goods can carry up to 20 years in prison.
Wow.
I think that dates back to the Tylenol tainting that happened in the early 80s.
Early 80s, mid 80s,
Something like that.
Yeah.
As for our second offender, Judge Terrence Holmes delivered a sentence to Mr. Anderson with a memorable lesson. He was sentenced to a month behind bars, followed by a hefty 180 days of probation over the next 2 years.
Wow.
And he was also tasked with serving 100 hours of community service.
That sounds fair.
As for our third offender, Lennis Martin III, he was subsequently charged with criminal mischief and the unusual charge of unlawful posting of criminal activity for notoriety and publicity. I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing either, but that's a great idea.
I'm very happy to hear this. The arresting officer said Martin told authorities that he had intentionally tried to go viral because he, quote, wanted to be famous. Martin disputes that and then said, "I got kids. I don't got time to go to jail."
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. That's rich.
Now, those are just three examples of the ice cream challenge. There were many more reported, and who knows how many went undetected. For its part, Bluebell, which seemed to be the target for most of them, even though they clearly were not to blame for any of this, they say extra precautions are being taken in packaging to prevent this type of thing from happening again in the future.
Hmm.
The reign of the ice cream licking challenge eventually came to an end swiftly because law enforcement were busting heads pretty quickly. The consequences yeah. of these viral antics, from fines to jail time, sent a powerful message to those tempted by the allure of internet notoriety.
No.
But yet the question remains, why are so many people drawn to participate in these ridiculous online challenges like the cinnamon challenge? Eat a bottle of cinnamon. That's not good for you. Or the no. Tide Pod challenge. Remember that one?
Sure.
People swallowing Tide Pods.
Dangerous.
Yeah. And now it says on the Tide Pod package, this is not candy.
Jerk.
In a digital age where a single video can launch someone into stardom, no matter how bizarre the act, the allure for a moment in the spotlight remains an ever-present temptation, even when the cost of entry is as absurd as licking ice cream at grocery store aisles. I guess it's true, like it says right on our website, people just do dumb stuff.
It's a special kind of stupid to, well, for one, want to do something like this, and then to go commit the act, and then when you're being interrogated by police thinking, well, how did I get caught?
I want to be famous. I want millions of views. I just don't want the law enforcement community to be part of that.
Didn't know nothing about doing no jail time. Community service.
I ain't got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. By the way, I was trying to think of the country artist's name. It's Rodney Crowell. She's crazy for leaving. And the line was, because his girl has left. And he sings, well, I know I could have caught her, but I ran out of luck. She was long on to Lufkin by the time they cut me out of my truck.
Oh, jeez. That's classic country lyric.
It's a great, great song. Go listen to Rodney Crowell. She's crazy for leaving.
I'm going to do that immediately. My source information, Washington Post, WHTR, ABC 13, Houston, and The Independent.
I feel like the next time I'm at the grocery store, I need to go look specifically for a half gallon of Bluebell and buy it just to support that brand as a way of saying, sorry, you had to put up with the idiots who were licking your ice cream. I was also thinking when you said Bluebell said we have made changes in our packaging, I thought, what would you do? And I thought, I know, you could say, don't worry, we've put razor blades in all of our ice cream to keep people from licking the top. Simply extract the razor blades with pliers before eating. Enjoy your ice cream.
I was thinking more like the top of it would be similar to the Tylenol bottle where, you know, it's tamper proof. You can't get into it easily.
It's practically impossible to open it even when you get it home and you're the rightful owner.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Thanks for hanging out with us, you guys. We appreciate you taking time to do that and also taking time to subscribe and leave a positive review. It helps us. It does. It really does.
And if you haven't already, we're both highly fond of the newest podcast under the Box of Oddities umbrella, which is FromBeneathTheHollywoodSign.com. And to those who have already subscribed, thank you so much.
We look forward to seeing you next time. Continue to make good choices.
Your life, and maybe even your ice cream, might depend on it.
So concludes another episode of The Shallow End with Schnepley and Toff. We thank you for listening. Oh, be a dear, would you? Please subscribe to this podcast, give these boys a 5-star rating, and think of something nice to say, even if you have to make something up. And visit us online at shallowendpodcast.com. Okay, gotta go.